Welcome back to the Lars Larson Show. It's a pleasure to be with you on a First Amendment Friday. Glad to get to your phone calls and emails at 866-HEY-LARS. That's 866-439-5277. Emails go to talk@larslarson.com. We'll get back to those calls in a moment. An awful lot of folks in the states, the eight states out of the 50 that have legalized recreational marijuana, were very upset when Jeff Sessions, the Attorney General of the United States, made a decision that I thought was perfectly common sense. The job of the Attorney General is to enforce the law. Federal law still forbids marijuana. Eight states have legalized it at the state level. There was an agreement called the Cole Memo, written during the Obama administration. No surprise there, because our former president was a big-time marijuana smoker in high school, and I think he was a fan of the weed. So, the Cole Memo said, you can have your legalized pot at the state level. We will ignore the violation of federal law as long as you keep it within your state. So, Sessions coming out and getting rid of the Cole Memo, as he did this week, I thought made perfect sense because the states have not confined the marijuana growing and exporting to their own states. It's gone out to other states that have not legalized it yet. I've invited Glenn Ballman on, who's the CEO of Duber Technologies and a cannabis policy expert. Glenn, good to have you back on the program.
Yeah, thank you, Lars. Good to be here.
So what is the implication politically and financially of this DOJ policy change for the marijuana industry as it is?
Well, I think, you know, like you said, he canceled the Cole Memorandum, which was frankly outdated. And now he's, you know, left it to his lieutenants to decide what further actions they might take. So, you know, I agree. It's a rational move. He could have done a lot more. He could have given a much stronger direction, but he didn't. And, you know, what we've seen in the hours since he has rescinded the Cole Memo is the state-level attorney generals coming out saying, you know, we've had policy guidelines in the past. We're going to continue to follow those policy guidelines, and you really should see no real difference in action from us. So I think it's a bit of a headline, of course, and I think, you know, because it is such a strong business in Oregon and in other states that, you know, people rightly should take notice when changes like this occur. But there really is, you know, no real change here to point at. They're just saying federal law needs to be enforced. And this Cole Memo is outdated.
Well, Glenn, then why is it that in the states the most prominent states that have legalized it, Oregon, Washington, Colorado, and now California, and then there are four others, but the states that I just mentioned are acting as though this is a full-on assault from the federal government? Why are they portraying it that way if it's really not that big a change in policy?
But I think everybody is extremely nervous because there's this gray area of states' rights versus federal rights. And anything that looks like, Sessions or the current administration is opening the door to trample over states' rights, I think is going to be, you know, met with a high level of concern.
Do you really think – hold on. Let me ask you something, Mr. Ballman. You really think this is an issue of states' rights? Because – there's a supremacy clause that says that if the federal government passes a law, that law is supreme and it cannot be undone by the states. And I don't think there's any question about the supremacy clause that says federal law supersedes state law. That you can't undo the illegality of marijuana any more than a state could pass a law that says we don't have to follow the EPA's laws or laws that have to do with equal employment opportunity or things like that, if they are laws. So, you know, is there a states' rights issue here where a state has a right to undo federal law even though it's part of the United States?
No, I think, like, from a regulatory perspective, you have, you know, the will of the state voters, right? So when the state voters pass, an initiative saying we want to legalize, we want to make a change in our within our borders, and the regulators are then, you know, tasked with enacting that change. What the Cole Memo did was gave a bit of a pathway to that. It said you must track the product. You must be careful the product doesn't leave your borders. You must make sure that it doesn't divert to minors. And so it gave some guidance. If you're a regulator in one of those situations, this is how you would do it.
And the states didn't do that, did they?
Well, the states went to great expense to build these tracking systems. So.
Oh, I think, you know what, Mr. Ballman, I think that's baloney. And I'll give you one hard example. Because I have my broadcast studios in Oregon, I know the situation here best. My friend who's a district attorney says they've licensed 135 labs to make hash oil under legalized marijuana. The state has not inspected one of them. So when you say they've gone to great expense to go out and do everything they can to keep an eye on all this stuff, how is it you can legalize 135 locations for the manufacture of hash oil and not inspect a single one of them? I mean, states inspect the scales that are used at the supermarket to weigh vegetables. States inspect the pumps at gasoline stations where they sell gasoline. And they don't inspect a single hash oil production facility? And that's tough regulation?
So I 100% agree with you when you bring up the level of inspection. So what I was indicating was they'd gone to great expense to buy software systems to track the product from growing through to the retail.
So I might disagree with you there, too, because Oregon, for example, has required, what, RFID chips for the growers, and the state doesn't own a single RFID reader.
Well, this, what the state did, and specifically I'm referring to Metric, M-E-T-R-C by Franwell. This is the software system that the state uses that all of the processors, producers, and retailers report their sales into. So that's called a seed-to-sale tracking system. It's from the moment the seed goes in the ground to the moment that the product arrives at the retailer. Every movement of the product within the building, every movement of the product when it moves between the various constituents is reported into the system, and even the route that the vehicle drives, the license plate, the driver name, all of that is recorded. Okay. The introduction of RFID adds another layer of tracking to that. And there's really, I think there's a bit of debate as to whether, you know, you need an RFID tag on every single plant versus, you know, the camera system that's in place where regulators can see exactly what's going on, you know, at the growing lab, at the...
How much does a camera help you if you're harvesting pot? If you have 50 pot plants in a grow or 500 pot plants in a grow, and a grower decides to divert some of it, he's not going to do it in front of the camera. It would seem that the RFID chip would be the only way to track that. So, I mean, I guess I'd suggest that if they don't even have an RFID chip reader, then all this software that you're mentioning does for them is, as long as they assume that all the pot growers are reporting accurately to them, then the information is accurate. Do you but that's very much a system that's an honor-based system, isn't it?
And that's exactly where I agree with you on inspection. So, you know, if you think about the actual physical use of an RFID chip, okay, it makes sense around a small plant, makes sense around a big plant. But then the second that plant is harvested and the product is turned into bulk flour, what is your RFID chip corresponding to? Is it corresponding to the individual bud? Is it corresponding to the bag? Is it corresponding to the container that's holding multiple bags? And that's where RFID tends to break down as technology. So what they've been doing is weight and transition volumes. So when you harvest a certain number of plants, that should turn into a certain amount of finished product. That finished product should turn into a certain amount of oil. And that oil should, when you use, you know, recipes that are registered with the state, turn into a certain amount of cookies or other edibles. So that's what they've been doing.
Sure sounds like it leaves a lot of room for diversion, doesn't it?
Well, I think it does if you don't inspect. And this is something that I agree with you. You went right down to the point of, you know, when I said they've invested heavily in the software. Yes, absolutely they have. And you can see the multi-million dollar investment every state has made. But when you talk about inspection at the processing lab, at the growing establishment, and at the retail level, the regulators haven't been inspecting. And I think that is a very important point. If we put all these regulations in place and we don't have the resources or the inclination to inspect, then we can't be certain. And so your point stands. I believe inspections could be improved, and I believe that these systems that track the actual end product could most certainly be improved.
Do you think that the states that have legalized it want to have inspections and want to have that? Because you say if they don't have the resources, well, all of the states that have legalized pot for recreational purposes are pulling in either tens or hundreds of millions of dollars. That's certainly enough money to hire the staff needed to go out and do inspections and do the regulation. But it sounds like the states have decided they don't need to do that. They'll just do it on the honor system.
Yeah, I don't know if it's they don't need to or if they...
Or don't want to.
They're sort of groping their way into this. So at first we had, you know, especially in Oregon, we had this transition from medical to recreational last year. And then we had a glut of product on the market because the labs weren't ready to test properly. They had seen some activity in Washington that concerned them. They tightened up the lab requirements and the testing requirements. This caused a huge glut of product at the market, which caused a very unstable market. And
so what? Is it the state's job to stabilize the marijuana market to make sure the producers are making a certain amount of money? Because it's not their job in any other kind of commerce.
No, but it is their job to not block the commerce that's legally allowed. So, and that's actually what they did. By not getting the labs licensed up quickly enough, not getting the systems in place, they drove a lot of people to the brink of bankruptcy. And so I think what you're seeing, and I'm really talking specifically about Oregon, is they're just sort of getting caught up. And should they be inspecting? Yes. Will they be inspecting? My guess is absolutely. Are they today? I think in a very small amount, and I think you're going to see that increase dramatically
over
the next few months.
Let's hope they do. Mr. Ballman, I appreciate you coming on. Thanks so much for the time.
My pleasure. Thank you, Lars.
Glenn Ballman, who's the CEO of Duber Technologies and a cannabis policy expert, after this week's announcement of a major policy change by the Attorney General of the United States, Jeff Sessions. You're listening to the Lars Larson Show.